Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're trying to make things positive. I have lit the purple magma lamp here from our friends at Sporticulture, and the magma is just sort of sunk to the bottom. Dennis Colatsis joins us now from Coons Ford Security Boulevard. You know, you're usually in like some sort of sporty, you know, blue Ford sort of polo shirt or feeling all whippersnapper. You look like you dressed for like the funeral of the Ravens today. What's going on, Dennis? How are you, man? It was a very, very tough Sunday evening in Foxborough.
It was. It was a tough night. And I guess the attire is appropriate, right, for lack of a better word here. But yeah, it was a tough night, tough conditions. And the Patriots are still the Patriots. That's still Bill Belichick over there on the sideline with his two sons. And they had a really good game plan. Got some help from the refs and some injuries by the Ravens. And I always keep reminding people that the other team, they're trying to win too. They get paid to win. And anytime you go on the road in the NFL and what's a week-to-week league, you got to pack your lunch and you can't make mistakes. So you have to execute. You know, people come down to the coaching staff and the plays are calling, but you know, you got to put that on the players and lack of execution. And when you put all those things together, you know, the outcome is what it is.
I'll be honest with you. You know, it was late into Sunday night, and Luke and I began our radio journey very, very early in the morning on Sunday, or Monday, I should say. And I, you know, I wake up before the show, and I'm making my Royal Farms coffee in the kitchen, getting myself together. And I went up and down my timeline, and it reminded me of why I don't take phone calls on Mondays anymore, right? Yeah. Like, it was hateful and awful, and, you know, whether it was Matt Skura, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown. I guess they didn't blame Nick Boyle because he got injured, right? Brandon Williams not in the game. So all of this that goes on, Patrick Queen did not have a good game as well, right? So there's goats for every season. But more than that, this team hasn't lost much lately, right? So it feels like when they were – the years where they were 10-6 and always sort of scuffling, there were six opportunities to be angry that they lost. Then there were two or three that they had ugly wins and people would be upset about. So there was a good 8, 10, 12 times a year to be angry. I feel like we kind of took a pass last year. Other than after the Cleveland game, even the Titans game, I felt like a little bit of like we got freight train. I haven't felt the sort of bile that I'm feeling for the Ravens as a 6-3 team, by the way. They're 6-3, but it really does feel like it's trending the wrong way. And I feel like people are a little dispirited about how good a 14-2 team could be coming back versus what this is, because right now, as constructed, they're not very good, are they?
Well, Nestor, it starts in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And when you get the injuries that they've had on the offensive line, the reshuffling of players. And last year, I believe the entire offensive line was intact for the entire season, right? No one was out for any significant amount of time. Matt Skura got hurt in the Rams game, but Patrick McCary filled in for him very capably. And this year, when you lose Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell off that defensive front, that's where it starts and that's where it ends for all NFL teams. Is in the trenches. They're the ones that make it happen or not. So I think that's where the Ravens' woes begin and end. And look, all is not lost to your point. The team was 6-3. I had to point out to a Patriots fan today that his 4-5 team beat my 6-3 team. Okay, so all things considered, as you mentioned, they're not trending in the right direction. However, it's a week-to-week league. People are saying, well, how are they going to stop Derrick Henry without Campbell and Williams? Look, the Titans have been struggling this year. There's a lot of teams there in the 6-3, 5-4 range, right? Anything can happen. The Ravens have a very favorable schedule. I still see them finishing no worse than 10-6 and maybe 11-5. So 10-6, I'm not sure gets them in the playoffs this year. 11-5, I think, does. And people say, well, they're going to limp into the playoffs. Well, the 2000 squad and also the 2012 squad didn't exactly come roaring in.
Well, Dennis Colatsis is here. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 hosting the D. Colazzo Show. You can find him out on Twitter as well and rebroadcast on Sunday after taking a little bit of downtime here before we get up onto the holidays and turkey and pumpkin pie and my Taharka ice cream selling season. But for the future for them, Titans this week, Steelers on short rest. We can talk about what the Steelers represent being undefeated at this point. Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach, I'll say that. The concern now for me is the injuries and the Nick Boyle thing, awful. Ronnie Stanley, awful. And then you know on a week-by-week basis, whether it's Brandon Williams in-game or Calais Campbell before the game, or you know, whether it's Marcus Peters hobbling around, that you're never done with the injuries. You're going to be – it's football. That's just what this is. But then there's the, all right, Orlando Brown's going to play out of position, and now we got to bench bench the right side because he's not getting it done, and we're going to put Bakari in at right tackle, and he's never played at right tackle. And now what are we going to do for Nick Boyle? Who's going to play that role? You go next man up all you want, but when next man up is among the better players, the guys you've built the offense around, in the case of Ronnie Stanley and Nick Boyle, this next man up thing is going to be a very, very difficult proposition, not just in the near short term, but the notion that they're going to go to Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City and win back-to-back-to-back in January. It's a whole different thing that they're going to have to try to put together here offensively, because without Marshall Yanda, and we talked about that for 9 months in the offseason, now without Ronnie Stanley, without Nick Boyle, and without Hayden Hurst, and with whatever this offense is from a passing standpoint, it is. It feels like an uphill battle right now. It doesn't feel like they're an elite team anymore, because they're not constructed like they were at one time.
No, all good points, Nestor. But at this point, you have to rely on your front office, their ability to hopefully draft and acquire the right players, and the coaching staff also to make the right moves, the right decisions. Jahad Ward was a player that should have been on the active roster yesterday. He's one of the few players that can actually set the edge. You know, we have Dez Bryant sitting there on the practice squad. Hopefully they'll elevate him and he'll help the passing game. And maybe Ben Bredesen or Ben Powers, they figure out that offensive line. But they still have time to right the ship. This is still a very good organization, an excellent coaching staff, and I expect them to compete. We saw a competitive game up in Foxborough. We'll see a competitive game this Sunday against the Titans, and also, as you mentioned, against the Steelers on Thanksgiving night. And all you can ask for is effort. Someone yesterday knocked their effort. I don't think there was a lack of effort by this team. There's no dog. There's no quit in this team. It's a proud, fierce organization. And in this week-to-week league that where anything can happen, it just underscores the importance of the next game, which is the Titans. They've got to take down the Titans if they want to enhance their chances of getting into the playoffs.
All right, my football team lost. You know, the world's going crazy. Let's go be mean to somebody. Let's go beat up on the officials, okay? I mean, what did you think of that spot? That was something, yeah. Right? Take the ball from the left hand to the right hand, the left foot to the right foot, right? I mean, that was something. I watched that, and I'm like, well, it's like kind of like a carnival trick now, wasn't it?
That was just really bizarre, and I know Twitter went crazy. The entire NFL fan base was upset, not just Ravens Nation. They were lambasted the official. They've got to clean it up, Nestor. The game was very even between both teams. We got more passing yards. They got more rushing yards. Time of possession was within 5 minutes. But now the penalties were definitely more severe against the Ravens. There was a play late in the fourth quarter where Marcus Peters on a sweep was being held. He had his back to the play, and he was like a magnet on the offensive tackle. He was just being held so badly. And a lot of bad calls in that game. And in a tight game like that, those calls do add up and they are costly, but that spot was just inexplicable and just a really bad look for the NFL, not just for the Ravens and Patriots in that situation.
Well, all the rain got in the eyes of the officials. They had to clean it off the cameras there. I did not go on Sunday night, and I was home all day Sunday getting work done, working on Baltimore Positive, trying to build stuff here. Right when, you know, I've been waiting all day for Sunday night when that came on and they skate, and I saw the Patriots and I saw Belichick in the sidelines. I'm like, man, I wish I were there. And then they scanned the sky and I saw the rainfall, and I'm like, well, maybe this is cozy with the cat right now. I mean, maybe the steak my wife and I whipped together and the mashed potatoes and the sugar snap peas and a delicious bottle of Malbec. We had some Taharka ice cream. I had a little pistachio, a little honey graham, during the second quarter while I was tweeting, you know. There is something about how that trip, that team, that coach, that stadium, the notion that Lee Evans right in front of me with the ball, the wide right with the Cundiff, and then being down on the field. And I almost shared that video on Sunday night of running around the outside of the field where all the Ravens fans came down to the bowl in the AFC Championship game when Joe Flacco led us to the promised land. And then there was Sunday night, No fans, no people, no lights, no Tom Brady, weather's horrific. And at the end of the game, when like you couldn't even see, it looked like a hurricane. You couldn't even see Lamar at the end of the game. And I think, man, I look back and I say they punted at one point. If they would have known how bad the weather was going to be at the end, but Sunday night was just sort of the amalgamation of all the awful New England's ever that kind of got brought back to me. And when I watched the Harbaugh press conference on my computer here on the Zoom, I'm like, Harbaugh's sitting in the same spot where I remember when, you know, Conrad Roulon died, and when and the same spot where he had to come out with Billy Cundiff and do that press conference, and the same place where he had to come out and do the press conference, we're going to the Super Bowl. That place is like a horror show, that place up there. And to see them show the lighthouse and the fog with the lightning and the rain, I'm like, looks like death to me is what it thinks like. You know, like the New England Patriots in that place, it's just a house of horrors. And it certainly was for Lamar. And Lamar has no association to any of that. He kicked the snot out of Tom Brady last year, right?
Well, when you're playing against arguably the best coach in NFL history, that also does factor in, Esther. He does things to other teams to slow them down. He takes away your strengths and works on your weaknesses. That's what a great coach does. And look, the Patriots control the line of scrimmage on both sides. They ran the ball effectively. They ran the ball down the Ravens' throats. They didn't turn the ball over at all. Ravens had one turnover. It was costly. Could cost them 3 points when you have Justin Tucker sitting there on the sideline. And in that situation, if the Ravens take the field goal, they don't need a touchdown at the end of the game. They need a field goal to tie it up. So that situational football, not turning it over, not beating yourself, that's the hallmark of all Bill Belichick teams, whether Tom Brady starting or Cam Newton. And that's the lesson there. You got to bring your A game. You got to play mistake-free football, because the Patriots are not the type of team that are going to often beat themselves.
Dennis Kalatsos is here. He's getting over Sunday night and getting ready for this Sunday with the Tennessee Titans. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 at Coons Ford Security Boulevard, selling cars, servicing cars, treating people right, and even once a week or so, putting a tie on. I have not seen you in a suit and tie, Den. I mean, this is – how often you suit and tie on the showroom floor, percentage-wise?
Not often. You know what? 1% of the time.
1%? Really?
It used to be an all the time thing back when I got into business over 3 decades ago. But nowadays, everybody's casual. Everybody's lax, right, except for the masks that we carry everywhere with us.
That's a good-looking mask.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. But, you know, you gotta be safe. That's the number one thing. But, yeah, we clean up around here once in a while. Especially when we're guests on such a pristine and premier show like yours.
Well, it's part of our positive. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you know, this Sunday thing of sitting around and waiting for the game, it's a little weird, right? And I know you had mentioned you haven't watched Red Zone. I saw somebody on Twitter saying, I've watched Red Zone for the first time in my life, and I'll never go back. The next couple of weeks are weird, right? Like, we have a Sunday 1 o'clock game, and it's weird for me because I always go to the games, right? So I've led a different life, and Saturday nights in hotels on the road or flying off or going to college football games or doing whatever godforsaken thing I do. And the Sunday night games on the road were always weird too, because you'd go in and you'd sit around all day and try to find a sports bar in Nashville or Boston or whatever waiting for a game. The next couple of weeks, though, we don't play the Sunday games, right? Like, once we go off Sunday this week at 1 o'clock, things get really weird. We're playing Thursday and then Monday. It's like a month of Sundays we're going to be able to sit and watch all the other teams play, which I like. I love a Sunday. Dare I say, without the Colts here, those 13 years, we had every Sunday where we didn't play, right? I mean, the Oilers were a part of my life, and they were good during that period of time, but I do like me a Sunday 1 o'clock game. You know, there is something, you get a little off kilter when you have to sit around all day and wait for the game.
Well, you do. I took a nap before the Ravens-Patriots scrum. I had to. I took a 3-hour nap, and I was fresh watching it, and I was fresh the next day. That's the way I operate. I have to. I just can't stay up late anymore. So rather than videotape the game, record the game, I like to watch in real time. I've had to change my viewing habits, right? So it's in a year of change, massive change for all of us.
Well, you know, I used to wonder how my dad got out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning to go down to the point, you know? And now that I'm 52, I just wake up at 3:30 in the morning. And it's not even to go to the bathroom. I wish that. I mean, sometimes it's to go to the bathroom. But, like, it's just I don't sleep a whole lot anymore. I'm 4 or 5 hours, even after a bad loss like that. And I know we're sort of playing it out. And the weather and the injuries and, you know, all of that that factored in. give me some hope that they can win these two games then. Like, give me a recipe for how this offense gets better without its best parts.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to gauge at this point. Ness, what I can point towards is that the Titans haven't been very good this year. They haven't gotten their act together. They've struggled. And moving forward to the Steelers, it's the Hatfields and McCoys. Both squads bring the best out in each other, regardless of injuries or where they are in the standing. So these two next games will certainly go a long way towards defining the Ravens' season. And you have to hope they get healthy sooner rather than later, particularly along the defensive line with Williams and Campbell. I'm more concerned about that. They have enough parts in the offensive line where they can piece it together. But if you can't stop the run in the NFL, it's hard to win games when you can't do that, because it sets up play action. It sets up all kinds of things that we saw in the loss to the Patriots. So defensive line, the health of that defensive line for me right now, it's job one, get those guys back on the field.
Well, second and two and second and three are untenable, right? You know, much like our offense for a year and a half, putting the other team in second and two and second and three, we're not seeing that on our side of the ball, and we're seeing that far too much on the defensive side.
Yeah, when other teams are running the ball down your throat, that's very demoralizing. Just showed you how the other fan bases felt the last, 30 games against the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, and they're just constantly running the ball down their throat. So it's very demoralizing.
Lamar hurt a lot of people's feelings. I hope we hurt the Tennessee Titans' feelings this week. We're going to be doing full coverage of all things Tennessee Titans all week long. We're going to be down in Nashville chatting with folks. Dennis is going to be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home with the D. Colazza Show. You can find him out on Twitter and out on social media as well. Hey, Dan, dust off, right? We're going to dust off here. We're going to come back here. We're going to stuff our bird, get our turkey ready, get our pumpkin pie ready. I'm getting ready for seasonal flavors like eggnog and the peppermint and the sweet potato casserole. Getting it all together, and we'll reconvene again on Thursday and hopefully set the record straight and go beat the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. All right.
Hey, we have much to be grateful and thankful for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Including the cranberries this time of the year. So
that's right.
My wife picked up the mincemeat pie recipe over the weekend. She said, and I said, nice. Hey, it's a little bit like apple. It's a little bit like rum raisin. It's a little bit like plummy and datey. And I'm like, it's meaty. Bring it on, man. I need any kind of pie next week. Apple pie, mincemeat pie, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. My favorite's pecan pie. So if anybody's got a pecan pie, bring that my way.
I'm glad you said pecan versus pecan. That's a whole other show right there. Another whole other subject. Pecan,
is that an Essex
pecan.
Dundalk thing? Or is that an EVT Dundalk thing? What is that?
Yeah, but you ask people, it's split right down the middle. Half the nation says pecan, the other half says pecan, the right way.
I grew up with a bunch of hillbillies at Dundalk. You got to call the police. They called the police on me. And I heard somebody the other day, had Ben Cardin on the show, our fantastic senator here. We also had Chris Van Hollen on. And Ben Cardin calls the District of Columbia by its proper name, Washington.
You know what? There's a lot of that going around, too. Washington, or wash my hands, or wash the clothes.
Warsh.
That's a Southwest Baltimore thing. That's a Pigtown type of language. With all due respect, we love Pigtown.
Believe me, I grew up on Bank Street. It was Washington on my side of town, too. So, hey, take care of yourself, Dad. Be well.
Be well. Stay well. Thank you.
Dennis Colazza, he'll even sell you a car if you're from Washington. You can stop by. He's over Coons Ford Security Boulevard, taking good care of Ravens fans and anyone else as well. College football on a shelf over the weekend. Just crazy times here, but we're washing our hands. Dennis is wearing his mask out of Coons Ford. We're holding it together. All of our WNSD programming brought to you by our friends at DeHark, our friends at Planet Fitness. We're still working out, working in. Got Vicky Brick on later on this week. We're also going to have Teddy Savage on next week talking about how to stay in shape when you're eating as much Royal Farms chicken as I am and as Western fries and firing up that DeHark the way I am. Got to work out. Perfect. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net. AM 1570, Tass in Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.